was a mess, but luckily, I mean, I made it. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Run with the horses. I remember a long time ago, I was in Chicago. I drove all the way to Yellowstone Park. I mean, I forgot how many days. But anyway, went through a lot of different states, like Wyoming, Nebraska. Forgot the name of those states. But I saw a lot of horses. The first time in my life to see wild horses running in the field. Grew up in a cement jungle. Never saw that many animals before anyway. But anyway, it was fascinating. I couldn't believe. I mean, that many horses running in the field. So it's a sign of freedom, you know, that many horses. I remember one year in Canada, I don't know if you're familiar with a theologian, Eugene Peterson. You know, he actually affected me a lot. I mean, he was my mentor in the summer camp. And actually, the whole summer camp, the theme was run with the horses. You know, the first time I heard that name, that term is just, you are setting up something I cannot achieve. I go too high to approach. Okay, let me read the verses first, okay, from Jeremiah. Chapter 1, 4 to 10. I cough a little bit, but I'm not cold or flu, okay, because of my postnasal drip, my sinus problem. Okay, in Jeremiah first, verses 4 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I form you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Last sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone and send you to and say whatever I command you. Okay. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Trust me, Jeremiah was not the kind of person you want to invite to your house party or if you want to have a good time. He will certainly not be the prophet of choice for today in a world that abhors judgments. His name was entered into English vocabulary, as a Jeremiah, a prolonged lamentation or complaint, and also Jeremiah, one who is pessimistic about the present and foresees a calamitous future. A very emotional prophet, a so-called weeping prophet. I mean, some will call it just a crybaby. He was often depressed about the futility of his message, which is understandable, because I can't imagine a country in the world at any place or time that would have responded positively to his message. Poor Jeremiah, his job is not easy. Running with the horse. God appointed him as a prophet to the nations. Being a prophet is not easy. In fact, if a prophet are really doing what they are called to do, they're inevitably going to get some people very upset, especially when they are doing the pulling down, as the verses say, pulling down, destroying, and overthrowing part that is described at the end of today's reading from Jeremiah. At a young age, Jeremiah was given such a huge responsibility, and this incident early on in his ministry was a critical moment for him. He had worked to promote the reforms of Josiah and offended the people from his own town who did not want their local shrines to be torn down. They threatened his life, and now what will he do? I tell you what, nothing is sadder than being rejected, denied by your own family members. That happened to Jesus too. When he went back to his own village, the people didn't want him to be there. In the history of persecution of Christians, it has always been cases that many of the church renounce their faith under the threat of discrimination or torture or death. Easy to respond to the invitation of God to come and lay down our burden of sin and receive His grace and love. But the real test comes when we discover that our choice will cause us something. Happening every day in the Middle East. I'm not kidding. Happening every day in the Middle East. I remember last time when I was here, I mentioned an organization. They took care of a lot of refugees in the Middle East. And there was a little clip they showed me. There was an Iraqi man. And he said, "Yes, I was a Muslim. My upper generation or generation higher, also Muslim. But just keep counting, keep counting. If you keep counting up, they're all Christians." It's true. It's true. In the history, we have never seen that many Muslims converted to Christian, especially now in the refugees camp. They have seen what the ISIS did to them, nothing but death. They have seen what the church and all those NGOs did to them. They brought them hope. So in this refugees camp, we are seeing hundreds of people, you know, convert to Christianity. And you see those ladies took off the veil and accept Jesus Christ. It was such a wonderful, wonderful clip. And I was so touched. Syria, in the Western media, we always say that they are quite horrible. The country is quite horrible. But it's surprising to see that the army is actually protecting the NGO, the Christian NGO, went in there. Because they need the help. And they know what they could bring them. It's such a beautiful scene. And some organization like Set7, and the satellite, they use a lot of education platform, just like a Sesame Street, okay? But, the illiteracy rate in the Middle East is very high. And they just landed to those areas to help the children and the ladies there. The ladies' illiteracy is very high in the Middle East. I think probably one of the highest in the world. And this is changing. The world is changing now. Jeremiah accepted God's call to be His prophet and was undoubtedly excited at the leadership of Josiah in calling Judah to repent, to return to God. He had a great time in spreading this message, but now this is the test. The open question is, will he persevere? Life is difficult, Jeremiah. So we should ask, are you going to quit the first wave of opposition? Are you going to retreat when you find that there is more to life than finding 3 meals a day and a dry place to sleep at night? Or are you going to run home the minute you find that the mass of men and women are more interested in keeping their feet warm than in living at risk to the glory of God? Are you going to live cautiously or courageously? Are you going to live at your best to pursue righteousness, to sustain a drive towards the excellence? Not easy. It's absolutely not easy. Running with the horses. Now, at the first sight of difficulty, you are ready to quit. Or if you are fatigued by this run-of-the-mill crowd of apathic mediocrities, what will you do when the real race starts? The race with the swift and determined horses of excellence. What is it you really want, Jeremiah? Do you want to shuffle along with the crowd or run with the horses? No wonder Jeremiah wants to weasel out. Weasel is the way out the task God has given him, saying, "Oh Lord, truly I don't know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Just like Moses, when God called him and to take the people out of Egypt. Now, the very famous four I's, inability, inadequacy, inferiority, and infirmity. And he got every single excuse to try to tell God, I can't, I'm not ready. I mean, I'm not equipped with that. I mean, maybe look for someone else. I'm not eloquent, okay? But the most important thing, same as Moses at the time, God say one thing, "I will be with you." You are not doing it by yourself. We are human. We're limited. We are corrupted. This, we have to remember this. It depends on our own. We can get nothing done. God didn't let Jeremiah off the hook that easy. After all, God had a plan for him, a mission for him. This mission wasn't Jeremiah's mission. It was God's mission. Remember this. This is not Jeremiah's mission. This is God's mission. And God reminded Jeremiah in no uncertain terms that he would tell him where to go and what to say, and that he needs never be afraid because God will be with him to deliver him. God has a plan for Jeremiah. Is this something we all struggle with? It took me more than 10 years to step on the path to serve God. I remember I was so afraid to be called, put it this way. When I was young, every time we went to those summer camp, I remember every time at the last day, last evening, we all have a testimonial meeting or something. Everybody hold a candlestick, and people stand up and give a lot of testimony and drop tears. But I never drop tears. But I'm so scared inside. Don't call me. Don't call me. I'm not ready. There's a long way for me to do. A lot of things for me to do yet. Not now. Later. But in my whole life, that never left me. I know what I have to do. When the call comes, you will know. Trust me, you will know. I even nowadays, when we were nowadays as a pastor, sometimes God gave us some special calling. I remember just a couple months ago, I was in the hospital. I don't know how some bacteria went into my blood, and my temperatures was very high. And went to the hospital, and there are two nurses recognized me because we went. I used to be in a missionary in Indonesia, and those ladies from Alliance Church, and they were always there. They recognized me. Next morning, they gave me a floor plan and telling me which bed is who and what kind of problem they have. If you have time, go to talk to them. Oh my God, I'm 40.6 degrees Celsius. I have two ice packs on top of my head. But they said, one of them, you have to go to talk to him. So I walk over there, and I forgot whether I shared this with you last time, but it hit me very hard, very, very hard. I walk over there, a young man, and it wasn't visiting hour, but he got relative next to him. I know that's trouble. It wasn't visitation hours, but his mother was there. Because he has been in the hospital for, I forgot, 60 days or 80 days. But the very afternoon, 4 o'clock, he has to be amputated, both legs, because of a work injury. It was so sad, because I never encountered that before. I've been a pastor, but not something like this. He was only 28 years old because of one injury. He works very close to here, Something happened, accident happened with the container. But he was crying, and I don't know what to say. Is it because of I don't get enough training from the seminary or what? I don't know, but I just lack of words. But the only thing I could do is I gave him a hug, and I gave him a little cross, those little cross made of the olive wood from actually I bought it in Israel. I just gave him and said, hold on to it and cry out for Jesus. It was so sad. It hit me very. Do you know why it hit me so hard? What kind of ministry I was doing? In a greenhouse. Very comfortable, a very comfort zone. I mean, I've never reached out to the grassroots in Admiralty, the hub of the business hub. Everybody's from the financial industry. I was from financial industry too, all from the universities. So we were always in a comfort zone. But now, in the hospital, give me a chance to deal with people really, really need Jesus. Really, really need Jesus. You're so sad. Now, this is God's calling also. They're showing me that, hey, you better start watching out for those people. Not just in your own church. That's not enough. That's not enough. So, that this is a part of calling. God had a plan for Jeremiah. doesn't that mean God has a plan for all of us? We remember those famous words from the beginning of today's reading. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So, and we wonder, when God formed us in the womb, what did God plan for us? Of course, many of us have crushed this wondering down so far that we rarely think about it. Hong Kong's too busy, very busy. Actually, several years ago, I tried to retire, but I found out after I retired, actually, it was busier than before, because I got married late, and my kids are quite little. Actually, two of them can come to this church, but I don't know where they are now. But anyway. So busy, Hong Kong. It's not just a physical work, it's here. It's nonstop. I always say, when I was working before in the financial industry, I always say, if I have one night, I don't have overnight worry, that is a blessing already. Because I deal with derivatives, it's a very hectic market, you know, and it suddenly say the Hong Kong dollar and US dollar unpacked, and I'm doomed. I mean, we have to do a lot of calculation and all this. So he never stop. I remember in the States, I was ordered to take a vacation because SEC, the Security Exchange Commission, forced us, for certain years, you have to take vacation. Otherwise, there must be some monkey businesses on. So you don't want to leave your post. Even that, I went to Wisconsin to do fishing, but I have a satellite phone right next to me. Here, can't stop. I just couldn't stop. I'm sure that's for a lot of people too, okay? So there just isn't any time to think about what God might be calling us to do, is there? Sometimes we even try to compartmentalize the idea of calling. Having a calling is something for major prophets like Jeremiah, or maybe in the modern world, people like Sister Teresa, Billy Graham, Martin Luther King. It isn't for folks like you and me, isn't it? Or maybe we think that only people with religious vocation have a calling. I guess that includes seminary students who are still listening to and trying to discern what their call might be. But what about everyone else? What about all of us here? Do you believe that you have a calling? Well, yes. I heard some of the folks saying having a vocation. Some are having a calling to teach. Some see it as a very much a vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. So it's very appropriate for us to think about our vocation as a calling. Unfortunately, though, I think even the concept of having a vocation can be limiting, because it can make us believe that we are only called to do one thing, as a teacher or as a financier or whatever. I mean, just one thing, okay? Of course, that's what the passage from Jeremiah today was about. It was about Jeremiah's calling to be a prophet. But if you read through the entire 52 chapters of the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that there were actually many different aspects of Jeremiah's calling to be a prophet. So even the vocation of being a prophet is about doing more than one thing. I can confirm for sure that the vocation of being a pastor is about doing many different things. I think Danny will agree with me. It's about preaching, teaching, pastoral care, a good administrator, good worship planner, and a leader, a person of prayer and spiritual depth. And it's about being a good organizer and inspirer of people. It's about speaking out for justice in the community. As a pastor, okay. To be honest, when I think about all the tasks this one vocation involves, I feel like pretty overwhelming, because I know I'm not equally skilled in all those areas. Just like I said, when I was in the hospital, when I saw the young man, I was so sad, because I don't know how to help besides praying for him. I want to do something more, but I don't know how. Sometimes I feel like following Jeremiah's example and saying to God, Lord God, truly, I, I don't know how to be a pastor, or for I'm too old instead of too young. I'm too old. If you want to give me a whole bunch of youngsters, I don't know how. I mean, I always get that excuse. And I don't know the music enough to lead the inspiration team or whatever. But I am reminded of God's response to Jeremiah. And I remember that it's not up to me to be good in all these things. Instead, my job is to trust God to provide for me in all the areas when I am called. My job is to trust God to provide for me in all the areas where I'm called. Moses, again, the best example. And sometimes that means reorganizing that I am not called to do a particular thing and that God wants someone else to do it. Like in the hospital, I did one thing, I know I did it right. I called to a local a church where he lives, I mean the area. And praise the Lord, and the pastor and the whole team of the visiting crew came to the hospital and to be with him. 28 years old. I don't care how much workman come, he got insurance, he got. And he just bought a house. How is he going to afford it? And also his mother was very young too. He's single. His mother was very young too. Single mother. And he has to help out his mother too. And it's tough. It's very, very tough. Very, very tough. But anyway, I'm glad the local church, you know, really helped. Last year, a group of us spent a number of weeks wrestling with this issue of call and mission in our men's fellowship. First of all, we learned that God is on mission everywhere and at all time. It's not up to us to do the mission to which we are called. It's not up to us. It's that God is always working with us and through us to make the world all that it can be. Through us, not our own ability. Not our own ability. That means, as we said about doing God's work in the world, we are only joining what God is already doing. Everything originally was good. In Genesis, when God created everything, there was one sentence there saying, they were all good. They were all good. We, the human being, because of sin, we changed the outcome. I don't know how to make other examples. I can only make examples from my old industry, okay? For example, commodity. I believe last time I mentioned that too. A lot of things originally was good. Commodity was good to protect. If you take the commodity exam, okay, the first question is, what is commodity? What is commodity for? The answer should be protection. Because you want to help the farmers. You want to help the miners. You want to help a lot of to lock up the price of the raw material, you know, to help the farmers to get more profit. But at the end, what did he do? To become one of the most speculative investment tools, like gambling. Not enough leverage. You want to do more. They put an option of the commodity. You put down even less money. Hedge fund. We all, again, listen to me, hedged fund. There's a D behind it, okay? What does it mean? I have some equity here. I want to protect this pool of equity. So I have some derivatives. Derivative means something in what we call the mirror action. It doesn't mean go the same direction or negative direction, but as one direction. So something to protect that. Protect the pool of equity. Protect the assets. Hedge fund seems very safe. But what happened? Later on, they took away the D. Hedge fund. That means we don't need that pool. We just play this. Play these little derivatives because it's cheaper and more, well, of course, more risk, but the return is humongous. That's why everybody went that way. See? When the thing first came out, it was good for the sake of protection. But what did it turn out to be? What did it turn out to be? I don't know whether you remember the story of Orange County in California. people took the pension fund, actually that's illegal, took the pension fund and put it into the hedge fund. And it's so sad. The outcome, I think you know what the outcome was. It was very, very sad. So that was a story. That was what we did. But God created everything was good. And he also prepared the situation. I'm not good in preaching at all, especially when I was in college. I was a member of the Campus Crusade. And Campus Crusade, you know, we have to go onto the street with a little book called The Four Spiritual Law and talk to people about The Four Spiritual Law. And I'm too shy, not shy. Actually, the main reason is couldn't swallow that people reject me. You know what I mean? That's the key. If you try, I mean, maybe, you know, this is the biggest barrier. I mean, the obstacle is being rejected. I'm lousy in preaching. But let me tell you, I did some amazing thing. I couldn't believe I did it. I give one example. Actually, I believe I mentioned it last time too, because it hit me very hard. There was many years ago, I was in mainland China, and it was in a meeting, not meeting, it's a banquet, and with a whole bunch of government, actually quite senior government officials. I forgot where I was. I pray, I say the grace, and then I start eating. Right away, the old lady looked at me. The old lady is not, it's very high government official. Benjamin, are you a Christian? This is a 基督徒. Are you a Christian? I say, yes. Then what do you guys believe in? I mean, what was that about? Hey, I didn't preach to you, okay? You asked for it. So God created the opportunity, created the atmosphere, created a path for me to do it. And I was very proud to say that God gave me this opportunity, and he retired now. He became a Christian in Beijing right now. And it was really, really amazing. And in the late 80s, early 90s, there were a lot of Chinese students went to Chicago in the Kellogg Business School. At the time, I was teaching Kellogg. And lots of them never heard of Jesus. But as a tradition, when you go to Northwestern or go to University of Chicago, the church will invite you for the new student orientation and dinner and all the stuff. I didn't know, I mean, almost all of them, their parents are very high up officials, because there was a first tranche. Zhao Ziyang made a deal with them, I mean, to do a big exchange program. And we thought for sure there's no way they will convert, because they are all Communist Party member. And I found out one thing. It's not a very good thing, but I found out one thing. Play mahjong. Mahjong take a long time, the whole night. You know, in Chicago, in those kind of winter, you know, you got no place to go, especially after exam, what do you have to do? I mean, what can you do? I mean, so cold. But playing mahjong for 5-6 hours, you can say a lot of things. If you can preach to that guy in 5 and 6 hours, you have a problem. So, amazing. Of course, we don't really gamble, it's just a game. But I was one of the teachers, I mean, not just in the school, but also the mahjong instructor, okay? But see, God created the opportunity for us. Not we did it, God did it. So God wanted to do the work through Jeremiah. Second, God's mission is not all about what we do at church. Other than Danny and I, and most of us here today only spend a small fraction of our week at church. God cares as much, if not more, about how we live from Monday to Saturday. It's about what we do at church on Sunday. And thirdly, we carry out God's mission in many different areas of our lives. A home, family, and close friends. At work, including school and volunteer work, a local community, including neighbors, town, or city, the wider world, like society, government, state, nation, world, leisure and recreation, all those activities with which we rest and refresh ourselves, our spiritual health, what we do. to meet our spiritual needs and grow in spiritual health and depth, our share in our church life and outreach, the thing we do as part of the church. In looking at these different areas of mission, our group realized that there is sometimes overlap between them. For me, this is certainly true, as work spiritual health and my share in the church life and work all get kind of mushed together. We also discover that at different times in our lives, we may be more focused on one particular area than others. For example, if I focus only on work and church by working 60, 70 hours a day, every week, my family and friendship would suffer because I wouldn't have any time for them. This is probably why, sadly, lots of missionary kids like me or pastor's kid got into problem. So I say, I praise the Lord. I mean, I know a lot of missionary kids because my parents are also missionary from Southern Baptist, came to Hong Kong, and also in the medical field. That's even worse. Two bad things add together, because like when I get a cut, you go patch it up yourself. Or you have a cold or something. I get some amoxicillin or whatever. So I know the drugs quite well because I took care of myself. And sometimes I feel, why you treat other people better than me? When you do stitches, now I'm close to 60 years old, I still got the mark here. But I'm sure he did it for the patient. None of them got those marks anymore. That's life. I mean, they aim at something, I don't know, too macro, and neglected the family as well. In fact, whenever we find ourselves focusing too much on just one area, we might want to reflect on the Jeremiah story and the whole concept of call and mission. But instead of allowing God to work through me and through others to accomplish God's mission, we have to work together. Like I say, in the hospital, I know I need help to help the youngster because I don't know enough. Okay. Carrying out God's mission is not easy, but it's not supposed to burden us more than we can handle. Although we set a goal to run with the horses, for God, nothing is impossible. Run with the horses is not a goal too high to approach. In fact, sometimes God's mission for us might require us to let go of some of the things we are currently doing because they are keeping us from doing things that God wants us to do. That this requires discernment, listening to God. If we don't listen, how will we hear God's voice calling to us? How do we listen? This will not be the same for every person, but I'm only telling you how I listen. I listen through prayer, through journaling, through my daily practice of classical guitar, through spending time in nature, through studying the Bible, through sharing my struggle with members of our fellowship. Now, fellowship is where we can walk hand in hand and walk together. Fellowship is very important because in God's family, you are not alone. You are not alone. Listening to God is an art, not a science. It must be practiced in order to hear clearly. Sometimes we as a church are going to think God is calling us to one thing only to discover that we were supposed to be doing something else. That's okay. God uses even our mistake to help mold us into the people God wants us to be. And it's through that molding that we become better able to help carry out God's mission. Today, I invite you to take some step towards recognizing your calling into mission for God. First of all, remember and claim that even before we were born, God knew you and formed you, just as God knew and formed Jeremiah. You have been created by God for a purpose. There's no one else but who can carry out that exact purpose for God. And second, I invite you to think about the seven different aspects I just mentioned on the screen right now. Think about and write down what you are already doing to make the world a better place for God in each of these mission areas. and then spend some time in prayer, asking God to show you what else you might be called to do, and you may have to give up or change the way you are doing something you are currently doing. But doing God's mission is all about being willing to change. It's not easy to change. All of us want to back out on God sometimes, but all of us sometimes want to quit. But God won't let us off that easy. Remember, God has a purpose for all of us. You may be only a boy or only a girl, but with God's help, you can do what God is calling you to do. Run with the horse. Accomplish that impossible. So in Jeremiah chapter 12, the fifth verse, if you have raised a man on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, and how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Everything is possible if you know to lay everything in front of our God, in front of our Lord. Everything is possible. I don't think I could be a pastor. I mean, I really don't, because of my temper and everything. If you ask me 15 years ago, there's no way. There's no way I could be a pastor. My excuse was, I have so many kids. I have to make sure my kids can have a good living first, and then I become a pastor. Or a lot of excuse I find out, but it was so clear. God lead me to the path He planned for me. But we have to quiet down ourselves, and sometimes we have to. Come to the Lord and put everything down and ask God what His plan is. He has planned for every one of us. Trust me. Trust me. It's not that simple. It's not that simple to live in the world and then die. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I also want to encourage everyone to read the book of Romans from chapter 5 to 8. Why I mentioned the Romans? Because that can... It solved a lot of my doubt before that changed my life is Romans chapter 5 to Romans 8. Okay. The whole running with the horse is possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we want to thank you. You give us a chance to all sit down here to worship you, to listen to your words. We know in other part of the world there are lots of people who don't have this.